This is the Change Management Podcast by the University of South Wales. My name is Dr. Louise Bright, and today I'm joined by Pam Hennebury from the Professional Development Centre. In this episode, we'll be discussing resilience during times of change. Pam, can you tell us a bit about your background before we start?
I set up the Professional Development Centre about 10 years ago. We specialise in leadership development and organisational change. And as you already know, for most of those 10 years, we've actually worked in partnership with Your Good Selves. Before that, I worked for ILM as the Strategic Business Manager here in Wales.
Thanks, Pam. Today, we want to talk about resilience, particularly, I think, given the current climate that we're all working through. How do you define the term resilience?
Obviously, there's many, many different definitions of resilience out there. Resilience is being able to bounce back from setbacks and to keep going in the face of tough demands and difficult circumstances, including the enduring strength that builds from coping well with challenging or stressful events. And I think for me, it's that last bit that really resonates, this idea that it's not just about bouncing back, but it's actually becoming stronger from dealing with challenges. And I think that's the one that really makes it for me.
How do you recognise in colleagues whether they are resilient or not? I know from my own experience, there are people who I've worked with who I've thought are tough and can cope and are resilient. And actually, I've been quite surprised by their reaction to what I would have thought they would have coped with. So I'm clearly not spotting vulnerability, I suppose.
I think you're not on your own, Lou.
Good.
And I think it's a really tricky question. Obviously, from an organisational perspective, that there are the obvious stats like sickness records that you can track. But the reality is that signs can manifest themselves in so many different ways. So somebody might withdraw, somebody else might have mood swings, there could be lack of motivation, aggression, or possibly none of the above. So maybe none of those things would apply. And I think what you have to consider, and you've maybe touched on it already, is that resilience isn't fixed. It depends on the context. And for different people, it will have a different impact. So, of course, that's really tricky when we're trying to pick up signs if somebody isn't coping very well.
Interested in learning about driving organisational change? Search for the USW Changemaker Programme.
In normal times, this is quite a challenging thing, isn't it? But in these times where the majority of us are kind of working remotely, I think it's more challenging to spot those signs where, you know, resilience isn't perhaps where it should be. And I know, again, from working with colleagues, I've got people who I work with and some of my peers who have adapted really, really well to working remotely. And then others who have over the months, it is still a real challenge. Is there something leaders should be doing in terms of this working remotely to be, I suppose, really on it in terms of spotting kind of cracks in resilience?
Absolutely. So there's a few things in there. The first thing is, I guess, is it harder to spot when you're working remotely? And I would say absolutely. You know, you're not having those informal conversations that help us to gauge how those around us are feeling. You know, we refer to them, don't we, as those water cooler moments. We're not having those. We're not with each other. We need to remember we're social animals. And so for many of us, we're missing that camaraderie of being with our colleagues. And so that's a big thing. But also, we're creatures of habit. We like patterns. We like patterns of behaving. And currently, our structures, you know, where we work, how we socialize, they're all different. And it's really hard for us to try and read signs without those usual cues, you know, to pick up on. So we have to recognise that yeah, it is tough at the moment doing this perhaps remotely. In terms of what can we do about it, you know, we're working with quite a few organisations at the moment, and we're working with them to talk around how they can have more coaching conversations with their staff. So how they make time to really reach out to the human being. So not just to make the work call, but to remember to talk to the human being behind the work, to really listen to that person and give some time, ask the questions, and of course, listen to the answers. So again, it's borrowing those sort of skills from the world of coaching in order to try and keep those connections going. You know, I guess I have to emphasize that if the organization has built a culture of trust and openness, then that's a lot easier to do.
We do a lot of work, Pam, together, don't we, on women's development.
Mm-hmm.
You've really helped the University of South Wales in terms of our women's development program. Culturally, I suppose, I'm wondering as well about this remote working and how that might affect or increase some of the inequalities that we see in organisations. So I've been thinking about, you know, women being disproportionately still, I suppose, doing the kind of hidden domestic and caring duties, and whether this remote working really is going to test women more because, you know, being at home, are they going to be doubling up their workload, I suppose, and be doing that in an invisible way, an even more invisible way? Is that something we need to be mindful of?
I think it is something we need to be mindful of. And, you know, there's some research that's coming out that you have two parents parenting at home at the moment. There's a man and a woman. For every 3 hours that the man is carrying out his work, the woman is carrying out 1 hour because her time is taken somewhere else. And, you know, we're running the Women in Leadership program. With all due respect, those women who come on the program who are homeschooling are looking frazzled. You know, they are really, and they're the first ones to say, this is really hard. It's a double-edged sword, isn't it, Lou? Because there is that flexibility, that idea about agile working that many people are saying, I love this. I don't want to go back to going into work, you know, 5 days a week. But we have got to be careful that that doesn't mean that women are taking on more of the home responsibilities, more of the caring responsibilities. Again, you know, really shocking figure that came out, I think it was yesterday, from Wales, looking at the number of deaths through COVID-19. And although men catch the disease to a greater percentage, 2/3 of the deaths have been women. And, you know, you've got to start to dig underneath those figures and try and understand what it is that's going on there.
So we talked a lot about resilience in terms of individuals. And I wonder, you know, we just picked up a little bit, didn't we, about leaders of organisations might see this remote working as a real opportunity. You know, there's less commuting time. Could colleagues be more productive? Is there less to spend on the estate if people are working more at home? So I think a lot of leaders are seeing the positive. And I think there's a reminder in what you're saying that we've also got to balance that with some of the risks for our colleagues. But from an organisational perspective, what is a resilient organisation? How does a resilient organisation look?
I think it's a mix of things. So if you're looking, you know, if you're standing back and you're looking from the organisation perspective, I think it's a mix of culture, strategy, management of risk and change, and sound leadership. So organisational resilience, I'd be looking at things like people, who are the stakeholders, what are the ethics, what's the training available for people within the organisation, the processes, what's the governance, what's the accountability, how is the information and knowledge processed, and then the product. So how are we scanning the horizon to look for new opportunities? Where are we looking for innovation? Where are we looking for adaptability? And lastly, the leadership of an organization. And for me, Lou, this is leadership for me is the bridge between individual resilience and organizational resilience. So that whole area of leadership development, I think, is enormously important. And having the right leaders at every level of an organization will make sure that the organization is resilient, but also that the individuals are nurtured and resilient.
I think that leadership piece, as you say, is really important. And I think probably a slight concern I have in reading articles from different organizations, you know, there's a financial difficulty around this pandemic for businesses. And I think there's a worry. I read something from an organization yesterday that said, you know, we are going to be really careful about what we spend now because the financial health of the organization is at risk. And one of the things they'd put as, you know, this is one of the things that we're going to be looking at carefully to not spend on was training.
Yeah.
You've talked quite a lot through this conversation about the importance of leaders and leadership. So it's almost counterintuitive, isn't it?
I think it is. We talk about managers and we talk about leaders, and we need both, but they're different. So we've got managers who are in a position of controlling, making sense, finding order in a situation. But then we need the leaders who are the change makers. They're the people that will embrace change, look for change and opportunity, and take people with them. Now, that's great if that resource is already in your organization, but if it's not and you don't want to grow it, then I have a fear that we won't move forward out of the management space.
What practical things, talking about management, what are the practical things you think line managers can do to help to promote resilience, particularly in times of such drastic change?
I don't think it's particularly rocket science, what I have to say on this, because if you look at any of the really good models around leadership, you'll find these, and I guess there's five key points for me. If they're good at what they do, they'll model the way. So they won't just talk about it, they'll do it, and people can look at them and really believe that it's true. Good leaders have inspired vision. So they sell the vision of the organization and they show people where they fit in. They challenge the process and they look for the positive change. So they're not willing to sort of sit on their laurels. They want to look forward. They want to see creativity. They enable others to have a voice and to be proactive. And this is a really key point, because having no control or believing you have no control is a super stressor. So if you're looking at somebody who's lacking in resilience, you will often find that they feel they have no voice and no control over their environment. And the last thing is that good leaders, good managers need to encourage and engage the heart. So to make sure that people feel that they have a real purpose and a real sense of belonging. And I think, Lou, that links back beautifully to the Women in Leadership programs that we've been running, because a key part of that program has been building the support network. And that's the feedback that we get all the time, is that support network has been absolutely of paramount importance.
Pam, I think that's a really nice note to leave this conversation on. As ever, I've learnt loads from you. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you so much.
If you want to hear more of the Change Management podcast, please don't forget to subscribe. And to find out more about the University of South Wales's support for business, please visit southwales.ac.uk/business.